the race for County Commission, preparing for Urban Beach Week, and what Fort Lauderdale and Venice, Italy have in common. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Miami Gardens Mayor Oliver Gilbert is running for County Commission, and he's already facing some stiff competition. We'll discuss his campaign and how his city is preparing for the Super Bowl. Also, Memorial Day weekend and Urban Beach Week is upon us. Thousands of tourists flock to the beach for hip-hop music, artwork, and parties. But it's faced controversy, and at least one Miami Beach commissioner has called to end it. We'll talk with a Miami Beach mayor and an artist who was hired by the city to come up with a way to change the narrative about Urban Beach Week. And what do Fort Lauderdale and Venice, Italy have in common? Well, they're sister cities, and they are beginning a relationship that could lead to more art exchanges. All of that today on Sundial. First, the news. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Major changes are coming to Miami-Dade County government. Three commissioners will be termed out by 2020, which means campaign season well underway. Now, the fight for District 1 has two high-profile candidates already vying for the office, Miami Gardens Mayor Oliver Gilbert and Sabrina Fulton, activist and mother of Trayvon Martin. Mayor Gilbert has been keeping very busy. The Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens recently hosted the massive Rolling Loud Music Festival and the Miami Open, and they're getting ready for next year's Super Bowl, which is preparations underway already. Mayor Gilbert joins us now in studio. Mayor, great to have you back.
It's always good to be here. Thank you, Liz, for having me.
Let's start with this. You announced, this goes back to January, I believe, right? When you announced that you were running for County Commission District 1, this is Barbara Jordan's seat. Why do you want to run?
Well, I think that, first of all, I've seen the work that Commissioner Jordan's done, which has really been amazing work. You know, as the mayor of Miami Gardens, I have an opportunity to work with her and other county commissioners with the issues that not just affect District 1, but affect the entirety of the county. Issues like transportation. I'm the chairman of the TPO, the first non-county commissioner to be the chairperson of the TPO, affecting transportation decisions all across this region.
Do you feel that, for example, some of the issues that may be, impacting your city, you can't do enough as the mayor, maybe in the county you can?
Well, I think the county commission matters with cities and the unincorporated area, and I think that you can definitely have those partnerships with regard to economic development, transportation, housing. Right now, we're having, 34 different conversations in cities and 13 different conversations in districts. Really, we need to be having one conversation, and that conversation needs to have subparts. Transportation, because transportation affects land use. Land use affects economic development. Economic development affects jobs. Jobs affects housing. Housing affects crime. I mean, everything is kind of connected. And so one of the things that I think we've been good at in Miami Gardens is finding ways to connect those, finding ways to talk meaningfully about land use and increased development, finding ways to actually address transportation, whether it's our Miami Gardens Express that takes people all around in Miami Gardens. We just added another route, or working to bring elevated rail to the north side of the county. You know, it was promised 20, 25 years ago, and now you see movement on that, and that's in no small part because of Commissioner Jordan and I working together to actually make that happen.
Look, one of the issues that you're going to have to deal with, you've dealt with as mayor, but you've got to deal with on a county level if you get there, is gun violence. This is a national issue, but your opponent that you have right now, Sabrina Fulton, of course, very outspoken person on this issue, considering. Your city was exposed to a number of shootings in recent weeks, including an incident at the Rolling Loud Music Festival. What actions on a county level can you take to address this issue differently than as the mayor?
Well, I think that we look at it as cities, but really it's not city, because gun violence is not something that's just unique to cities. It's something that's unique to, one, how the socialization agents that would influence a person, a kid, to pick up a gun at some point, but then also the accessibility of guns. I don't think that the violence was actually, we didn't have violence at Rolling Loud in Miami Gardens.
There were reports of gunshots, but
yeah, those were false reports. There was no gunfire in the stadium. We do a very good job of securing the stadium.
Not in the stadium. but outside of it.
Well, it was actually outside in a different municipality. It wasn't at the stadium property. Okay. It had nothing to do with us.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's. I just want to. But having said that, I don't see it as an us problem or them problem. I see it as a we problem. So we're going to have events at the stadium. We're going to have events in Miami-Dade County. We have to actually have events because tourism, bringing people in, entertaining them is such a huge part of our economy. I think it's incumbent on all of us to actually work together to make sure every part of Miami-Dade County is as safe as it can be. And listen, with regard to being, you know, active on gun violence, listen, we ought to all be advocates for less gun violence. We ought to all be advocates for more gun control.
I want to ask you about this because Miami-Dade County leaders recently announced a $2 million initiative called the Group Violence Intervention, and it's going to establish safe houses for those interested in leaving gangs, establish a stronger curfew, and, quote, boots-on-the-ground approach to mentoring young men. What do you think of that idea? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what is the right direction.
Well, I don't think there's a right direction. I don't think there's one right idea. I think there's a lot of different things. And so I think that it's going to be helpful, but it's not a cure. You know, so you're going to, and we're having this big conversation, I guess, on social media now about curfews, and because some shootings happen, you know, during the day. And well, listen, no, it won't address everything, but it helps. And we have to work the issue from all angles, helping. And that means in schools, making sure we have the proper interventions there. That means strengthening the family where we can. That means partnering with not-for-profits. That means allowing people kids a way out. Sometimes they will find themselves in a bad situation, and you need to always give them an off-ramp if you can, because we know where this road leads. We know where a road of crime and mischief and violence leads. Ultimately, that end has been predetermined.
You talked about transportation a little while ago. That's a very heated topic here in Miami-Dade County. There was a push by the legislature to take the Miami-Dade Expressway Authority out of the hands of the commission, set up their own independent toll authority. I mean, you know, do you think that the power is being taken away from local, you know, officials, from local politicians and voters?
Well, I think that the MDX, the MDX argument became way too political. And in general, I believe that you should allow people of the region to actually control things like transportation. So they have the ability to do that. And it really is tragic that we would have tried to cede that to, you know, Tallahassee Legislature and Department of Transportation. I think that we here in Miami-Dade County can figure it out for ourselves. We don't need people from Tallahassee helping us. We know what type of traffic we have. We know the places we want to go. We know the capacity our roads need to be at. And we know what it's going to cost to do it. So, yeah, if you want to be a partner with us through FTOT, if you want to be a partner with us, the federal transportation programs, that's great. But ultimately, just like all politics are local, traffic is local also. Transportation is local also. And so we need to be allowed to allow our voices to be amplified and other voices to maybe be silenced more, just a little, because ultimately it's us, it's in our roads, and it's our money. We're paying the tolls.
This was a contentious issue in the legislature, and the governor did veto one bill that would have banned any city from banning, for example, plastic straws or plastic bags. He did veto that, but it's always been a push and pull between Tallahassee and the local municipalities. Again, talking with Miami Gardens Mayor Oliver Gilbert, recently announced his plans earlier this year to run for Miami-Dade County Commission seat District 1. And again, he's got one opponent right now, activist Sabrina Fulton. We are also efforting an interview with Mrs. Fulton on our program tomorrow. We'll see if we get her. We'll let you know. Let's switch over to this, because your city has hosted some big events recently, and you're getting ready for the big one, the Super Bowl. All right. First, let's start with this. Rolling Loud Music Festival. You had the Miami Open Tennis Championship that used to be over in Biscayne. Do we know the economic impact now of what the Miami Open was, what the Rolling Festival was? Or is it going to take some time to know?
It'll take some time. We know that economically, with regard to the tennis, the Miami Open, we know that it did 20%. Ticket sales were up 20%. So we know that more people actually came. And if you actually visited there, I was out of the country for a bit, but I came back for the last couple of days. And I walked through. The crowd was amazing, and it was younger, and it was diverse, because it's not just tennis. They really did a lot to the campus there to make it event worthy. And so I think if you didn't go this year to the Miami Open, you should make your plans to go next year, because the people who went, they raved about it.
So we talk about the Super Bowl. It's been since 2010.
Yes.
That Miami hosted the Super Bowl. That was, let's see, that was the Saints against the Colts. Mm-hmm. What did you, what has the city learned from, because Miami is actually now, by 2020, will have hosted more Super Bowls than any other city. We kind of should have the blueprint on this, right? We know how to do this.
Well, Miami-Dade County does, and Miami Gardens does also. So we know how to do big events, and I think that's one of the special allures that we have, you know, when we try to go out and get them. When the mayor writes his letter, Mayor Menez, when I write my letter, when we start talking to folks, when Rodney Barrett at the Super Bowl, when we start pitching it, we know how to do big events because we have a wonderful facility in Hard Rock Stadium that Stephen Ross has invested a lot of money in. We have great county partners. And we have great municipal partners.
We were off the list for a while.
Yes.
Because of the stadium.
Yes.
It was kind of getting old and they had to make these renovations just for us mm-hmm. to even get back on the list.
Yes. And so we're back on the list now. The Super Bowl is going to be amazing and it'll be held in Miami Gardens, but this is really a Miami-Dade County initiative and undertaking. And I know that we're all going to be ready. We're working together on it now very hard.
That's something interesting you just said. So this is a lot of Miami-Dade County. But here's the thing. It's in your city.
Yes.
So how do you get more attention for Miami Gardens? Because you know every time an event, a sporting event's on TV, they're showing downtown. They're showing South Beach. They're talking about Miami, not Miami Gardens.
Well, yeah, but it's changing. I have to give them some credit where that is, you know, and there'll be some slip ups and where I'll talk to the people at the stadium and I'll go to the hey, listen, knock on the door. This commentator is saying Miami or South Florida, but it's actually Miami Gardens. The stadium and the Dolphins are very good partners with it. And the Super Bowl committee, it's taking a while, but they start to come around a little bit more. And I think part of that is us always before, I think, when Miami Gardens, we just became a city in 2003. And so as we grow and mature as a city and we're thought of as an independent municipality and not just another part of suburb of Miami-Dade County, or, you know, it has changed something. But we have to be always vigilant about it, because if we're not, we'll just be, you know, they'll think that, you know, we're South Beach.
They're going to think, exactly. They're going to show the images of that. Here's the other thing, too, though, is this. Anybody that doesn't know, when it comes to the Super Bowl, it's not just the game. It's a week of mm-hmm. events and parties and everything. And it could be a lot of fun. But again, you know, how many of those, what are you doing to get more of those events in your city? And that they're not in downtown Wynwood, Brickell, South Beach, but you're getting people.
We're going to use the whole county campus, but we're actually working with the Super Bowl committee now to actually plan events, some events in Miami Gardens. One of the things that I noticed, the security requirements that we put in place for those events are fairly stringent, and the stadium and the places where we would have events are along major thoroughfares. So we probably don't want to have, like, we don't want the whole Super Bowl like live thing built out. We can't close down 199th Street to do that for a whole week. We can't do that. But what we can do is some parties, some hosting, some concerts, and we're working on how that looks now.
You know, the other thing, too, is this, is obviously every time a Super Bowl comes to town, there's always a lot of touting of the economic impact that it's going to have on local businesses. And they're saying that this one, I've read somewhere that it could be upwards of almost $500 million.
Yes.
For local businesses. Now, play a little devil's advocate with you, though. I mean, there are sports economists who say these Super Bowls never, ever pay out that kind of, it's always a tenth. Or less of what they expect. I mean, there are a couple of them that I'll give you, and you can look these guys up. Victor Matheson, Robert Bay, these guys have always said Super Bowls never, ever pay out as much as you think. But here's the thing. Again, it comes back to this. You trying to secure as much of it for Miami Gardens, and it's not just going to South Beach or Brickell or Wynwood or something else. How do you do that?
Well, I think by cross-branding in a lot of respects. Having the Miami Gardens brand linked with such a positive and clean brand like the Super Bowl is very helpful. One of the things that I've really worked hard on in Miami Gardens is economic development. And we've had a good amount of economic development. But as we start to announce some of the newer things that are coming, you know, for years, the residents would say, well, we need a nice hotel. Well, having events at the stadium, having things like the Super Bowl in Miami Gardens, having, quite frankly, things like the tennis in Miami Gardens, having things like Rolling Out in Miami Gardens, having things like, you know, the Rolling Stones in Miami Gardens, those things actually help when we're making the pitch. you know, to hotels and restaurants. So from our perspective, we understand what South Florida is and what we are in context of that. So we know that we're never going to have beachfront property unless we continue to screw up the environment. We're not going to have beachfront property unless we keep screwing this up.
Okay, now you're going in. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, okay. So and I know you got Dan Gelber, the mayor of the beach, on. And I want him to have his beach. I have my stadium.
Right.
We develop around it, and so we can actually be fuller participants in the economic development that the Super Bowl brings.
Lizzie, we got a lot of time for the next election, and you will be back. But I wanted to ask you this. In the time that you're still mayor, what else do you feel you need to accomplish before you take that next step in another direction politically?
Oh, I want to keep with pushing for transportation, keep pushing with economic development, keep pushing with the things that we've done with the police department and public safety. You know, we've started sending young kids from the community to the police academy, making them police officers in Miami Gardens. And ultimately, I think that type of community policing, as you build, you get a critical mass of people who actually know the community, who have relationships, and it actually helps. I think the economic development helps. I think having smart housing policies. Listen, we're a community of single family homes. That's great. But we need market rate stuff for young professionals to come and rent and buy. We need that. If you don't have that, what happens is your community artificially gets older quicker. And your tax base is always stagnant because you're not having density and you don't have a diversity of uses. And so those are things that we have to look at continuously. We're looking at annexing a little part of the industrial part that has no residents and just continuing to build out the bond. Our bond, bringing science, technology, engineering, mathematics, recording studios, television production areas to public parks for kids is really something that I want to make sure all of that stuff is on the right path. But I would say this, Lewis. I would say that I never see leadership or even, I don't see it ending. I think that we do our part while we're there to move the ball down the field. And I think that when you look at where Miami Gardens was in 2012, which regard to finances, our finances as a city are significantly stronger now. Development has significantly increased now. The diversity of our police officers has incredibly increased now. So we've done the things that we said we would do as a city. And I say we because it wasn't just me. It was a city council, a city manager, and 113,000 residents. We did it together.
Well, you got time for more time to create that legacy. And you, again, you're joining a unique fraternity of mayors that get to host the big game. So Miami Gardens, Mayor Oliver Gilbert joining us. Mayor O. Gilbert, always a pleasure.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Lewis.
Great to have you back. Well, still to come, Miami Beach's mayor is going to join us. They're going to talk about a new art project. And he's going to explain how it's linked to Urban Beach Week. That's all coming up next.
Yep. Man, I've been working super hard. I've been out here moving like I'm cruising in an Uber cart. Man, what you do it for? Wolves in the skies, tell them look me in my eyes so I know exactly who you are.
Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, every year, hip-hop, parties, fashion statements take over South Beach for Urban Beach Week. That's a three-day event happens. It takes place in the city of Miami Beach on Memorial Day weekend, and it's been going on for two decades. This year, black artists have received a grant from the city's tourism department to curate a variety of artworks that are geared towards shining a positive light on the role black residents have played in the shaping of the city's culture. And one of the artists is Octavia Yearwood. She, along with other local artists, have created this list of events that tackle the misrepresentation of the black community in the media as it pertains to this weekend. And she joins me now in studio. Octavia, great to have you back.
Always great to be had. How you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right.
All
not
right.
too bad. Also joining us is the City of Miami Beach Mayor. Great to always have him here. Dan Gelber, thank you so much, Mayor.
Great to be here.
Thank you,
Octavia. Great to be here.
You know what? Let me start with this, because we were having this conversation earlier about Urban Beach Week. And okay, we're going to talk about the artwork and some of the issues and challenges of Urban Beach Week for the city. But what's the origins of Urban Beach Week? Do you know? Does anybody know?
It was not. I don't think the city has previously or ever really been a sort of promoted the weekend. It's been pretty organic. Thus, the challenges for us from a capacity point of view. But I don't know that it started from the city saying, let's have an Urban Beach Weekend. I think it just sort of happened over time.
Did it start with a concert, a festival, or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think it did start organically. However, just the usage of the word urgent urban beach week, I think, is what's been the actual shift that was not necessarily done by whoever originated the weekend. But yeah.
Okay. No, you know what? This we wanted to start with that because I've lived in Florida most of my life. But even then, when somebody asked me, I said, I actually don't know. I just know that it's been around, mm-hmm. and I never thought anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? For this upcoming weekend, for this holiday, there's this unique relationship, and the city wanted to bring in artists and to create something to bring people together. But Mayor, where did the idea come from? When did this start?
Well, I think a few years ago. Look, obviously, we've had a lot of issues with handling the capacity of both Urban Beach Weekend or Memorial Day weekend or whatever it's called, and actually recently spring break. We are a pretty brittle area in terms of the arteries that come to us, the causeways. We've been, I think, unable to adequately control the number of people so that it feels like it's a safe environment or at least an environment that's appropriate. So we've been doing whatever we can to try to bring it in and control it. But one of the things we wanted to do, and specifically Commissioner Areola really led the effort in this, was to say, you know, while we're trying to control this environment, we ought to also understand that not all these issues are what people may think they are, and to have more of an elevated discussion, to reframe it. And what's going on now with the reframe, which is what you're really talking about, is we thought it would be important to not simply talk about what to our residents the problems that have been happening during a Memorial Day weekend or any of these high capacity weekends, but also to talk more about sort of the positive aspects of it. So art and culture we've tried to embed in it so that we can take a little bit more control of that narrative.
I understand an Art Basel and what art would be to that, but for spring break or Memorial Day weekend, what role does art play?
Well, I think it's a bit of culture. It's a bit of art. I think we aspire to be more of a cultural destination than anything else. We don't, you know, I always say, don't come to our city if you want to do what you wouldn't do in your hometown. Come to our city for the Bass, for the New World, for the ballet, for the Wolfsonian, for the Jewish Museum.
Okay, but this is, you know, this is like spring break. It's young people, a lot more young people, I should say, wanting to come, hang at the beach, drink, have fun, music. Is it art? Octavia, where's the art come in on this?
Right. And so when we were approached with this opportunity to bring arts and culture, because that's really how it started. It started as someone saying, hey, we want to bring in arts and culture into this you know, space during this time. What do you think? And for me, primarily, I kind of was like, why? You know, primarily I was like, you know, just like you said, there's young people coming into the space and they want to, you know, drink and have a good time. And do they want to really look at art? But when I thought more about it, myself, Jared, and our team, when we thought more about it, we said, well, this could actually be a great start to shifting a relationship, to helping, using arts and culture as a mediator for the relationship. You know,
what's that relationship?
Well, I mean, I think that when we're talking about the city of Miami Beach, we're talking about a bunch of people. And like the mayor just said, the word that he used continuously just now was the word control, right? And so if any relationship, anytime control comes into the factor, there's going to be pushback, there's going to be resistance, and there's going to be misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. So I think that the relationship between people coming in, locals, people of color in particular, and mm-hmm. authorities, there's a strain there, and there's a resistance, and there's a pushback. And just like any relationship that's not in a good space, what's going to happen? Argument after argument. And unfortunately, these arguments that's happening, that has been happening, has been ruffling, just not making it better. So we thought of reframe. We came up with the title. We came up with the concept of it to say, you know what? We're not trying to change the weekend from what it is. What we're trying to do is reframe how we perceive it. And also reframe people who are coming in and locals who are here as to what's actually available. You don't have to flee, locals. Come through, you know? come through to these arts activations, come through and look at your city be really highlighted. Let's see what's really happening. And like the mayor said, we are working to take back the narrative because the media often takes that into a wrong turn.
And mayor, you know, and I want to talk about that too, is how it's perceived. But mayor, that relationship, it's, you know, you have locals and then you have the visitors. But during these very big events, spring break, Memorial Day weekend, you know, it's a lot of visitors and that creates a tension. It's you're saying that you think art is going to help in reframing this relationship.
Well, I think a few things. First of all, you know, we brought in the Hyundai Air and Sea Show to a great extent because we thought it would be a good way to program. We've never programmed. We don't program spring break. We don't send out an advertisement saying, come here for spring break. The truth of the matter is we're really not crazy about it. Because there's, with the 395 work that's being done, it's very hard to come in and out of our city. And when you bring in thousands of people or tens of thousands of people on a daily basis, it's much harder. For instance, for the 2 years that I've been mayor, the two spring breaks that I've been mayor, during the weekend, during spring break, when St. Patrick's Day happens, that Saturday night a year ago, we had to close down a causeway because we simply had reached capacity. This year, we came very close to that and had all these other issues of people fighting and sort of the kind of behavior that no city would want. So for us, a lot of this is this has happened organically. We try to police our way out of it, and that's you're not going to arrest your way out of it, nor should any city want to. But one of the things we certainly can think about is how to program our way. Mm-hmm. And so what we are trying to do is we're throwing a lot at this issue. Of sort of the idea that our city is a place to go to do what you might not do in your hometown. And the idea of reframing it is to say maybe one of the things that has to be in this mix is elevating what the marketplace of ideas, basically, because there's going to be if there's an ability to reprogram in a way that that's easier to tolerate.
Help me understand, though. Are we really saying to visitors? Because remember, with the spring break, you guys were sending out notices to colleges. If you come here, behave.
Yeah.
If not, there's going to be problems. Are we saying, is this about saying to visitors, okay, we love having you, but, you know, like, don't.
By the way, I suspect the reframe side of the table has got a pretty elevated idea of what they want to do.
Okay.
As the mayor of the city, I have a sort of a simple, which is I'd love that marketplace to have high-minded ideas, but absolutely there's going to be police controlling the situation because obviously no city would want the fights they saw on videos branding the city that way. And we don't want that. We're not going to allow it. And that's why we took what I thought were pretty extreme measures of sort of, I mean, we were literally sending police onto the beach to say, you know, put out that joint or you're going to be arrested or pour out that beer or you're going to be arrested. And that's not something most cities would do, but we had to because I think security is not something you can sort of just say, well, we're not going to worry about it.
So, Octavia, the city comes to you and says, here's what we want to do. Here's some money, but we want to try to bring artists together. And how do we, you know, use that art in, again, this reframing? So at first you told me, no, this isn't about that. But then you thought there's an opportunity. So what is that opportunity? And how?
Well,
I
didn't know how to make sense of it. Not about that.
Okay. So, all right. So how do you make sense of it? And what are you doing? What are you going to be doing during the weekend?
Well, I mean, I think that it's really clear how beneficial the arts and culture is. And I think as a person, I know as a person who moved here from New York City, how the city of Miami and Miami Beach has unfolded me by way of arts and culture, period. So when you're talking about starting a conversation, because this is about starting a conversation, right? This is the city's effort to say, okay, we're going to start this conversation and bring in all the sides of the story to now push this forward. And then let's see over time how, because this is not going to all be aided in one year. You know what I mean?
Right.
But for us, it was like, okay, this is a start to give people not only their own identity on the beach, also give them a space and a place to go to learn more about the city and get ownership. You know what I mean? I think that our approach has been to allow arts and culture to allow people to have take some type of responsibility and ownership of the city, so they do treat it with more care, so they do have more respect for it, and so they do feel like they got something more, you know, out of it.
So it sounds like to me like we want to say, you know, to visitors, any of these events, but to visitors, to say there's a certain way we view our city, we hope you will too, and you're not going to just treat it like whatever you want when you come here.
I'm not doing the second half of what you just said.
Okay.
I'm just going to show you the greatness, and I'm going to give you the greatness. We're going to make it accessible to you, the greatness, and then greatness just does what greatness does.
I'm hoping Octavia is very successful. But by the way, we will have, you know, we've got a pretty substantial police force on Alpha Brava, which means that they're on 12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
There are going to be more police, and I don't like that, by the way. I don't like the idea that we have to do that. I'm hoping that we can find a way to program so that the city almost self-selects the kind of visitors it gets, folks that might be interested in art and culture more than they might be in drinking too much and getting in fights and putting those fights on video.
Again, talking with the City of Miami Beach Mayor Dan Gelber and artist Octavia Yearwood. Again, the City of Miami Beach spending money on events and art curated by Yearwood and created by Black artists for Memorial Day weekend, or as locals have known it as Urban Beach Week. And that art will promote this an inclusion, but also, again, a reframe. This is what it's called. It's a reframe. All right. Before we get to some of the art and what this greatness is, Octavia, that you talked about, is tell me about this, because you said it earlier, is I wanted to know about the perception of Memorial Day weekend, Urban Beach Week, by the media, by locals. What has that narrative been? What should it be?
Mm. Well, I mean, you are the media, so
you're
I'm
right.
Sure you know what the narrative has been.
Yeah.
But for the people in the back, I suppose exactly what the mayor has been saying. The things that have been publicized are the fights, are the arguments, are the overdrinking, are the high police, you know, influence. And also, like you saying, 12-hour shifts. I mean, nobody's going to be happy on a full 12-hour shift dealing with, I mean, you could be drunk with a person and be annoyed with them. You know what I mean? Imagine being on the job and having to experience that, right? But our approach is to show that there's actually good times happening, that there's actually culture that's happening, and not necessarily just wild and crazy times.
I
want to say, I just think that it was a great idea from the city's point of view to use programming to start to offset that. Of course, it's not going to be anything that's going to like make the strongest of dents in the first year, but this is a great start.
All right, tell us about some of the stuff that you've been working on for this weekend.
So a part of our initiative, and so it wasn't a grant, by the way, given to us. It was, it was a part of their programming, and we came in as essentially commissioned artists.
Thank you for clearing that up. Thank you.
Team to come in to create this programming and also bring in the institutions that are on the beach within the framework that myself and Jared created. So, and Jared is also another person on the team that built Reframe. And so we got with the Bass, and the Bass is working with Giovanna Gonzalez, who's a local artist. And again, all the people that we're using are all local artists. We really found it important to mobilize local artists and local curators to really tell the story of the city. Who else can tell it better, right? And so we have Lonnie Johnson. So we have an exhibition that starts tomorrow called I See You Too. And this exhibition is going to be like stepping into Black presence on the beach, Black presence on the beach, what has been happening, how it's unfolded, and how we've given back to the city. And then we have, like I said, at the Bass with Giovanna, where she's going more of the route of talking about queer inclusion and how people engage as queer folks. There's going to be a performance.
The Venice Biennial is the oldest art festival in the world. Think of it like Art Basel, but on steroids. Evan Snow recently traveled to Venice for this year's biennial and was inspired to create a cultural exchange between the city of Fort Lauderdale and Venice. By the way, these are sister cities, so they already have a relationship. Snow is the co-founder and managing partner of Art Fort Lauderdale, and he joins us now in studio. Evan, welcome.
Glad to be here, and I'm not a Italian expert, but it's Biennale.
Biennale, thank you. No. You know what? Sometimes that happens. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
No worries.
Biennale. Okay. Now, I too am not Italian, but I don't want to mess that up.
No worries.
How did you end up at this last Biennale?
So, and thank you so much for having me. A big fan of the program, supporter of yours.
Thank you.
So I'm working diligently with my partner, Mr. Andrew Martineau, to move the needle forward within the arts and culture in Fort Lauderdale, and from a community building perspective, putting art first. And one of the things we've created is the county and the city's signature annual 40 Art Fair, Art Fort Lauderdale. We're quote unquote the Venice of the Americas. So we're able to leverage the fact that we have a water taxi and a intercoastal canal system to move people to multimillion dollar mansions, to host an art fair in these mansions that's only accessible via boat. And I wanted to see how Venice, Italy does it at one of the grandest scales in the world, right up there literally with Art Basel. We have a sister cities relationship, which is a nonprofit citizen diplomacy network, creating and strengthening partnerships between Fort Lauderdale and international communities in an effort to increase global cooperation at the municipal level.
And so, yeah, with the sister city, because cities have many sisters.
Correct.
So it's a lot of different cities, and it's supposed to open up an exchange. What I found interesting is, how have we not had an art exchange at this point? I mean, I haven't heard people talking about this.
Sure. Well, we had the lack of having a major art platform, a major 40 art fair a la an Art Basel to be able to have an exchange with Venice Biennale being one of the longest running, grandest art fairs, and with our art fair being pretty revolutionary and new, we feel it's a great initiative to move the needle forward in Fort Lauderdale. If we're able to send our artists over to Venice, over to Italy, to live, work, learn, create, and get this experience, we know from our own travels that traveling opens up your mind and helps you appreciate other cultures. So one of the things that we're hoping to do is strengthen our cultural and economic ties, with art fairs being large economic drivers, with Art Basel contributing $550 million to the Miami economy for the 1 week of Art Basel. We're hoping, with the furthering of these relationships and the strengthening of these ties and new initiatives, that we can help contribute to our creative economy, which they report annually is about $414 million in Broward County as a whole for the year.
In the end, is this about creating that kind of festivities here as well? You want to see something, maybe not on the size that you see in Venice, but to see it here.
Yes, we feel very, very strongly, as we've seen with Miami Beach, with the growth and success of Art Basel, and as I've seen from my travels in other cities, arts helps, you know, literally reshape cities. And we all know the story of Wynwood, and we all know what happened with Soho, with the Basquiats and the Andy Warhols and the Keith Herrings. And with Fort Lauderdale, coming at a very pivotal time as it is redeveloping and reshaping with the big development boom, we're hoping that we can use the arts in a positive way to help reshape our city and establish us as an international destination to view and interact with art. And once again, you know, $550 million economic impact for 1 week of art with Miami Art Week and Art Basel. I mean, if we could scratch the surface of that, you know, we're really on to something big that can literally change people's lives. So what we're looking to establish is a cultural exchange. We're establishing an initiative called Zero Empty Spaces, where we're activating. We saw there are two problems. There's a shortage of artist studio spaces, and then there's a lot of vacant spaces.
And this is interesting. You want to create that space for artists, but, you know, I mean, we live in an area that is, you know, we always hear the issue of affordable housing and space for housing. Is it really difficult to find that space for artists?
It is now. Okay. And as we've seen with Wynwood pushing artists northward to Little River, Little Haiti, and now to Fort Lauderdale and even to Pompano, there's a shortage of affordable artist studio spaces for them to create. We're going to help solve that problem by activating vacant, either commercial space, retail space, that's either tied up in a buy and hold or tied up in the permitting process. The city of Fort Lauderdale has a very long permitting process. So we'll be able to activate it, make the space affordable to our local artists, in a safe, creative way. And then we're going to work, because we have a lot of things going on within Art Fort Lauderdale and Fort Lauderdale and Design Week, to provide programming, studio tours, new art walks, fam trips, So there's a lot of other arms, educational workshops that the artists will be able to produce that will serve a purpose for the real estate developer or the property owner, that they'll get their space activated.
Do you need help from the city on this, or is this something that you could do without them? And I wonder what kind of relationship you have to have with developers.
So we have a very good relationship with Mayor Dean Trantelis, who's a friend and supporter of our initiatives. We reached out to him and said, hey, Mayor, this is what we want to do. Do you have any thoughts? And he said, why don't you reach out to Mike Weymouth, president of Los Olas Association? We thought he was kidding. And actually, Mike Weymouth went for it, and he's giving us our first space to start with. We do want to work with cities because eventually we would love to have some type of subsidy, tax break, some type of incentive for the property owner or for us realistically, because we're a self-funded, you know, initiative. But if they were able to give a tax break, that might actually help grow the program even further.
I'm talking with Evan Snow, co-founder and managing partner of Art Fort Lauderdale. And he was recently in Venice, Italy, as part of a cultural exchange, because these are two sister cities. And so what kind of art exchange can we have between these two cities? And again, he's talking about these artist spaces. I wanted to get to this real quickly, too.
Sure.
Providing these spaces at a good cost for the artist. The other thing, too, is this artist come in, they help build up a community, then they have to leave because they can't stay in it anymore. How do you avoid that happening? How do you avoid like a Wynwood happening?
So realistically, since we're getting the spaces that are vacant and that are either, once again, tied up in the permitting process or a buy and hold, there is going to be the situation where one of them will become activated. And then we're very transparent and upfront with the artist and with the developer. If you get a new leaser that comes in, obviously we're going to have to give the artist a time period, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, to move their stuff into another space. We're going to work to cycle those artists into the next available space. And we have an application process that's open right now that we've received dozens of artists that have already applied. So as one space goes offline, new spaces will go online. We have a bunch of developers submitting spaces to us for consideration. And we are starting to work with the City of Hollywood, the Dania Beach CRA, and private citizens as well, who believe in this initiative and want to supply us their spaces. And there's no shortage of artists that are looking for safe and affordable studios.
And you talk affordable. So what's affordable?
$2 a square foot and includes the utilities, and we're providing the insurance. So the artist would sublease it from us. We're going to start off. We started a pilot program with an artist friend of mine, Ernest Vasquez, the creator of the Thousand Mermaids Artificial Reef Project. I brought him with me to Venice, Italy. And then an artist I have a relationship with in Italy that participates in the art fair, she's going to come stay with us, work in one of the workspaces. And that's the beginning of our Italy Fort Lauderdale Cultural Exchange. And we're very excited to grow this as we continue growing Fort Lauderdale.
How long do you think this is going to take to build it up to whatever your ambition is?
The rest of my life. And I'm playing the long game.
Okay.
So I'm committed to doing this for the rest of my life. I'm from Broward County, born and raised. I started Choose 954 as a social movement to cultivate arts and culture in Broward. And this is just one of the initiatives that's an additional leg of our overall umbrella, which is the Unitas Group, which is a modern day marketing consultancy we've started to unite synergistic elements, and uniting the arts is a way we're doing that.
Now, and you know, we had this conversation once too about how Art Basel brings a lot of attention for Miami-Dade, but is this about trying to recreate something like that in Broward County, to have your own thing? Not to say Art Basel's for everybody in South Florida, but to have one
correct
that's really more for Broward.
One of the biggest issues affecting Broward County and Fort Lauderdale is we've never had this identity. We were the spring break capital of the world. We fought long and hard to break that. We created Fort Lauderdale Art and Design Week as an extension of Art Fort Lauderdale because only so many people could fit on the boats in these homes. So we're working with all of the cultural institutions in Fort Lauderdale for this 1 week to activate and aggregate all of the arts and culture to get people to engage with the arts in ways they've never done before. And we feel, as we've seen with Miami Art Week, that will be successful in at least helping raise the awareness and the consciousness and the importance of the arts through talks and other types of engagement.
We're building art in Fort Lauderdale and doing it with this relationship with Venice, Italy. Evan Snow, again, co-founder and managing partner of Art Fort Lauderdale. This is a fascinating idea. As you said, you're in it for the long haul, so we'll see this grow over time. Evan, such a pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll look forward to continuing the conversation in the future.
Definitely. Well, that's our program for this Wednesday, May 22nd. I'm Luis Hernandez. Have a great one. We'll talk tomorrow.
I got paid today. I just got paid.